It's 106. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. This week on AM 580, we've reported on attempts to help both domestic violence victims and abusers. Tonight at 8 p.m., our companion station, WILL-TV, will air a new documentary, which offers an innovative look at the issue of domestic violence. It's called Breaking the Silence, Journeys of Hope. In this hour of the Afternoon Magazine, we'll talk with the husband and wife filmmaking team of Dominique Lesueur and Catherine Tatchy. They are respectively the producer and director of Breaking the Silence. Also, following the documentary tonight, WILL will host a town hall forum on domestic violence called Breaking the Silence Local Stories. It will be simulcast here on AM 580, on WILL-TV, and live on the web at WILL.UIUC.edu. Joining us this hour to talk about that is WILL producer Kimberly Chronic. As we discuss domestic violence and some innovative programs and groups organized to address it, we welcome your phone calls at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Catherine Tatchy is an Emmy Award-winning producer and director of film and television, including several programs for PBS. Dominique Lesueur is a film and television producer, and together they currently are co-producers and directors of several projects, including a four-part documentary series entitled The Search for Meaning, C.S. Lewis and Sigmund Freud. More recently, Catherine directed the first 2 hours of the PBS documentary series Art of the 21st Century, and the two collaborated on a recent concert from Hawaii, airing within the PBS Great Performances series. And Kimberly Chronic is the promotion coordinator for WILL Radio and TV. She has worked on numerous production projects for our television station, and you even hear her from time to time when we're fundraising here on AM 580, which I'm pleased to say we will not have to do again until the spring. I want to remind all of you listening and those of you who will be joining us this hour that we have severe weather going on throughout Central Illinois and really throughout the two-state region, and we may have to interrupt from time to time for that, but I want to say welcome to Catherine, Dominique, and Kimberly.
Thank you.
And hello.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us. Let's start, Catherine, Dominique, let's start with you and with your program, Breaking the Silence, Journeys of Hope. What makes this an innovative documentary?
Well, I think one of the things before we started working on this film, we looked at a lot of films that had been done on domestic violence, and we really wanted to do a piece that not only talked about the issue, but also offered ideas and modeled programs that are successful in terms of helping women get out of the cycle of violence. And so that is how we sort of shifted the focus. So not just to tell the horror stories of what these women have gone through, but to really look at some of the programs and to find out what happened to some of the individual women and how they were able to get out. And also, the other thing is that in the research that we did, we really felt that it was important to really celebrate these women. The women who struggle in these environments are really survivors, and they are doing the best they can to cope with very, very difficult situations. And they're not... In many cases, these women are viewed as victims, and in many cases, they are doing the best thing they can possibly do to protect their children and themselves. And so we really felt that it was important to cast the program in the sense of celebrating the strength and the beauty of these women and to, in a sense, empower and make these women understand that they are powerful.
Dominique, how is this documentary organized?
Well, our research was organized first. We wanted to look at the point of entry, meaning that once a woman had decided that she was going to break the silence, what options did she have? Where can she go? And we decided to organize it by, look at what the police would do, look at the Justice Department. It sort of shifted in the production to become really the kind of, travel of a woman as soon as she's decided to open up, whether she talks to a friend or whether a police officer is asking her, what's going on with her, all the way to the time where she decides to leave, to where she has to find a shelter, to where she has to you know, go to decide whether she's going to press charges or not, and then, you know, go on to rebuild her life. In the documentary, it probably looks a little simpler and easier than it is in reality. Women leave an average of 7 times before they, you know, they leave for good. But that was the organizing principle, is to, you know, see what are the options out there for women when they are ready to leave. You know, what can they find, and where can they go?
And Catherine, you visited 3 primary locations, I guess, through this documentary: a domestic violence hotline, a sort of innovative court, and a shelter. Could you talk maybe first a little bit about the violence hotline in Austin, Texas, and what you saw there?
Well, this was quite a surprise. I didn't realize how busy these people are at the domestic hotline. There were about 7 people working on the hotline, and the calls were just pouring in.
Okay, Catherine, I'm very sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt you. We have, as I said, some weather information to bring along. Let's go to Ed Kieser in our weather center.
This is meteorologist Ed Kieser on WILL AM and hopefully FM as well right now. A tornado warning continues for Macon County and Northern Christian County until 1:15 p.m., and that will likely be extended. And the reason is at 1:07 p.m., FAA personnel at the Decatur Airport reported a tornado 12 miles west-southwest of the airport. The tornado is moving east-northeast at 45 miles per hour right toward the Decatur Airport. If you live in Decatur or Bootie, head for safe shelter now. That means the lowest floor, and put as many walls between you and the outside as possible. In addition, a severe thunderstorm with large hail, damaging winds, and tornadic potential is located in northern Christian County near Mount Auburn. But we're interrupting now to tell you we have some ground truth there. The FAA personnel at the Decatur Airport just 6 minutes ago reported a tornado on the ground 12 miles west-southwest of the airport, moving east-northeast at 45 miles per hour. So if you are in Decatur or Bootie, head for safe shelter now. And a tornado warning remains in effect until 1:15. I'm sure it will be extended, and unfortunately that means we'll be interrupting this broadcast in a few minutes. Back to you.
You're listening to WILL Urbana, AM 580. And once again, we're talking with Dominique Lasseur, Catherine Tachi. They're the filmmakers of Breaking the Silence, Journeys of Hope, a documentary that will air tonight at 8 p.m. on WILL-TV. It will be followed by a local town hall that WILL is producing, and Kimberly Cronick, who's producing that broadcast, is here with us as well. And we'll be simulcasting that on AM 580 as soon as the first the documentary is complete. And when we stop there for the moment. Catherine, you were talking about the National Domestic Violence Hotline in Austin, Texas.
Yes. The kinds of calls that we heard that were coming in were ranged from people just trying to get information for friends, family members, to actually women who had just been beaten up, where their partner had left, and they were calling to try to find out what was available to them. We had one call was from a man who got into a fight with his wife and was very worried that he made the call because he was very anxious about the possibility that he would turn to violence, and he was trying to get some help in terms of trying to hold himself and control himself. And so the range of calls that we heard were quite amazing. And Dominique, maybe you can tell them a little bit more about the numbers.
Yeah, well, I guess they get about a little less than 500 calls a day. They get many more calls whenever a program is aired and put their number up. What struck me, the number of the call that came in, is the interrogation that the woman would, women would describe horrible situations, and then after a while would pause and ask, "Well, you know, I mean, is this violence? Is this abuse?" And often they would describe what is not only physical violence but also mental abuse. And they would pause and just wonder whether they had even the right to call for help. And that was really an amazing and totally distressing thing to consider, that women who had been in abusive situations for for years and years, sometimes more than 20 years, don't even feel that they, you know, they have the right to speak about this issue. Now, I was listening, and this is not related to your question, but I was listening to the warning on the tornado, and it reminded me of what these women feel on a day-to-day basis. They are, on a day-to-day basis, you know, looking for warning signs of something horrible that may happen to them, you know, within the next hour. And that's what this woman on the phone, you know, called about.
And in some cases, the women have been brought up in abusive situations, and they're not even.
All right. Thanks very much, Ed. And once again, my apologies, Catherine. Once again, that's a thunderstorm warning for DeWitt and McLean counties until 2 o'clock and a tornado warning until Piatt and Macon counties until 2 o'clock. Do we still have them on the line? Oh, we've lost them. All right. Well, that's all right. That's an opportunity for us to bring Kimberly Cronick into the fold.
Hi, Craig.
And Kimberly, you know, once again, we could be interrupted at any moment by the weather.
Understand.
It's just the way it works. You will be doing a follow-up to the documentary tonight that we were just beginning to hear a little bit about, that's going to be Breaking the Silence local stories.
Yes. And Craig, what we did was, back in August when we knew we wanted to do this program, we heard about the national program. We said, this is a great opportunity to look at the problem locally and the services locally. So in August, Amy Guida, the host, and I got together with people who are on the front lines of delivering service and helping victims and reforming perpetrators, and we had a brainstorming session, and we talked about what it is we'd like to get out to the public about this problem. So we're going to take a look at the problem. We're going to take a look at the resources that are available. We're going to look at some of the myths and stereotypes, because those are we all operate under those, and those are some of the barriers to providing services and helping victims, actually. And we're going to look at, like I said, the perpetrator programs. And one of the things we had trouble locating were victims who would be, or survivors who'd be willing to come and talk on the program. And that's because of, there is a lot of shame and a lot of blame given to survivors of domestic violence. So we do have a few that will be in our studio live to talk about their experiences. We're also hoping, by opening the phone lines, that it'll be safer for some victims and survivors to call in and tell their stories and share them with us. So that's how we've set this program up.
Okay. Do you know some of the specific guests that you're going to have on the show?
Yes. We have representatives from five domestic violence shelters in the area. We have Sojourn from Springfield, Dove from Decatur, Beth's Place in Tuscola, serving Douglas County, mm-hmm. The Coalition Against Domestic Violence in Charleston, and, of course, A Woman's Place here in Champaign. So folks on the direct lines from those shelters will be with us. Also, we have the Dean of Students at the U of I, who can talk specifically about student violence. We have the state's attorney, Melissa Gagan, will be here. Darcia Survivor, Judge Arnold Blockman, Sheriff Reefstack. Also, Ramona Sullivan from Lincoln Legal Services. We have Sergeant Scambolari from the Illinois State Police. He trains all the state police officers on how to handle domestic violence calls. Also, Joyce Kirkland will talk about youth services. She's from Dove, and they actually go into the junior highs and the high schools and teach about violence, what violence looks like, how to intervene and not be violent in your intervention. We'll hear from a man who survived as a child. And then we have four representatives from reforming perpetrator programs who will talk about that. One is a male-female co-facilitator team from Broman Counseling in Bloomington. And we also have James Walters from Decatur and Carol Davis from Coles County. So we have, and also two nurses who deal with emergency cases of domestic violence and how they identify potential situations and the attitudes among their staff as well.
Gee, what are you going to do if you run out of guests?
We need about 5 hours. We have 1 hour, and we're just going to scratch the surface, but we hope to direct people to resources where they can get involved. We're happy to say we are asking people to get involved in this program, to help solve the problem, to provide services. So we're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to take phone calls as well.
All right, let's bring Catherine and Dominique back onto the line. My apologies well, I guess we got cut off there.
Well, I'm glad you're all right. It was a little nerve-wracking to hear about the tornado warning and have you disappear on us.
No, we're still here, all is well. Listen, I know we left off talking about the domestic violence hotline. I wanted to talk about a couple of the other segments of your show. We were just discussing while you were gone some of the things we're going to do here locally. In your program, among the other things that you learn about or tell us about in any event is a sort of innovative court in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Catherine, could you discuss that a little bit?
Actually, I'll take that. The Dorchester court was born out of the effort of Judge Hanlon, who, following on the example of Sarah Buell, started a community roundtable in 1992, basically realized that as a judge involved in many domestic violence cases, she realized that nobody was talking to each other. The police was ignoring what the health officials were doing. The court had no idea what the police procedures were. And she decided to get everybody around the table on a kind of informal basis every month. And it started, as she says, for the first year, they basically screamed at each other, blaming each other for everything that was going wrong. But out of this dialogue was born a project which was then funded by CDC and which became a pilot project for the whole country, allowing people to realize what communities could do, what systems could be put in place, so that the woman, a woman in a situation of domestic violence, would not fall into the cracks, and her case would be followed by advocates. Advocates would meet regularly, advocates to the court, advocates to the police department, and then the court itself became the center of another project funded by the Department of Justice. Which is really the purpose of it is really to look at what kind of punishment can make a difference on this issue. What is the role of law enforcement? What is the role of judges? And the court was designated as a domestic violence court last year, and I believe there are only three such courts in the country. So it's really a place where a lot of things are happening that will teach us as a society what is it that we can do as communities to make a dent and a difference on this issue.
Well, it brings up an interesting question as far as the legal aspects of domestic violence cases go. The standard practice in most cases is for the domestic violence victim to get some type of restraining order, typically, some sort of order of protection.
Yeah, that's the start.
Now, are there limits to those restraining orders? That's one question I'd have. And another one is, are there circumstances where that might escalate the problem, say someone just ignores the order?
Well, the restraining orders, and that's one of the reasons why one court, one place where you get restraining orders, and whenever the case develops into something else, it's all on file and people know what is going on with a particular situation. So I guess the answer is there are some concerns out there that it's too easy to get a restraining order for a woman. And I can tell you from seeing, what was happening in a court, it is made easy, but if you don't have a case for it, you do not get a restraining order. You really have to show that there is a good reason for you to, in some cases, prevent your partner from even coming to their own home. And I found, I found the judges very, very concerned and very fair about this. What happens then is that 7 days after a restraining order has been obtained, you have to, the two parties have a chance to be heard. And then it is decided whether the restraining order is going to be continued or not. But I found that the whole judicial process, at least in Dorchester, is really concerned about being fair to all parties.
I just want to comment on that. It's also called order of protection, and you can get a woman or a man can get an emergency order of protection within if an incident happened and then the respondent, the person who you're getting the order against, doesn't need to be there to, for the judge to grant that. But unfortunately, we know just from a terrible case in Champaign less than 2 weeks ago, a woman got an emergency order of protection on a Tuesday. Unfortunately, her husband is the man she got it against. He wasn't able to be served with that order. And on Sunday, she was shot to death, and he is being held in connection with her death. And I talked to the sheriff about this. We'll be on the program tonight. An order doesn't, of course, stop a bullet, and but it is one method that women can and anyone who's abused can use. And one of the interesting things I found in your program, the national program, was that when a woman leaves a situation, her chances of having violence committed against her escalates by something like 75%, I think it was in your program. And I found that to be a shocking statistic.
Yeah, and I guess if there's, I mean, certainly one lesson that we learned from this program is the idea that a woman, that the only solution for a woman who's in this situation is to leave right now. I mean, that is a very, very dangerous myth for families and for anybody who's involved in this issue. The right time is when it is the right time for the woman in that particular situation, and the woman is the only one who knows, you know, when she's going to be safe doing it. Because in fact, it's true. I mean, the, you know, leaving puts her at an incredible increased risk of being hurt or killed.
One of the things the hotline was doing very successfully with some of the calls that they were getting was really to talk through the steps of when the woman makes the decision to leave, you know, what she should start preparing for that departure, you know, documents, birth certificates, all the kinds of things that she might need when she has to leave, so that it's all sort of put together so she can just take that bag with her kids and leave. And a plan seems to be one of the things that can help the dangerous situation, is if she has some help in terms of planning that departure.
And I think, Catherine, I think you raise, and your program does as well, some really interesting points about that. People on the outside have a hard time, I understand, from, you know, why doesn't she just leave? And as you say, there has to be a plan. Oftentimes children are involved. Perhaps she doesn't have her name on the checking account. Perhaps there's a mortgage. She doesn't know how that works. Perhaps she doesn't have reliable transportation. There are all these reasons. Perhaps she feels her husband or her boyfriend will change, and she wants that to change, and she wants to keep the family together. There's so many reasons why it's so complicated for her to walk away from the situation. And I think if we can help people understand that better, there could be more compassion for people who are in this horrible situation.
And I think one of the things that Sarah Buell explains is that the process of that abuse is really to take away, to make the woman feel that she is powerless, that she, you know, I mean, everything is sort of taken away from her, so she can't even write a check out, or she can't get out to even buy some food. So that kind of control, I think that's why to have the support and to learn what can be done in terms of that protection, and then when they get into the shelter, what support that that woman, you know, can get, like at the Bloomington shelter, where the women are taught how to budget, how to open a checking account. A lot of these shelters are able to teach these women these skills that in a way they've been sort of isolated from.
That's Catherine Tatchy. She is the director of a documentary produced by her husband, Dominique Lesueur. They are the creators of Breaking the Silence, Journeys of Hope, which airs at 8 o'clock tonight on WILL-TV. Also joining us this hour is WILL producer Kimberly Cronick. She's the producer of Breaking the Silence, Local Stories, a town hall which will follow the documentary that we will simulcast here on AM 580 and on the web at WILL.UIUC.edu. We welcome your questions for our guests at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-222. 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. And I want to just very quickly recap our severe weather situation right now. There is a tornado warning still in effect for Piatt and Macon counties until 2 o'clock this afternoon. There's a thunderstorm warning in effect for DeWitt and McLean counties in the AM 580 severe weather coverage area until 2 o'clock. And I believe we're going to Ed Kieser now with another weather update. Ed.
Yes, we have a brand new severe thunderstorm warning for Shelby County in central Illinois, and that's in effect until 2:15 p.m. And at 1:30, the National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm 16 miles southwest of Tower Hill, or about 3 miles east of Nokomis, moving east at 50 miles per hour. These storms are starting to move quick. Lakewood, Tower Hill, Westervelt, Shelbyville, Findlay, Stewartson, and Windsor are in the path of this storm. And it's, of course, capable of producing winds in excess of 60 miles per hour, damaging hail, frequent lightning, very heavy rain. Take cover in a sturdy building. Stay away from windows. Go to the lowest floor. Tornado watch is also in effect. Severe thunderstorms can produce tornadoes at any time. And as you were mentioning, severe thunderstorm warnings for DeWitt and McLean counties till 2 p.m. Tornado warnings for Macon and Piatt counties until 2 p.m. And there was a tornado reported by the control tower at the Decatur Airport moving toward Decatur several minutes ago. So we're trying to get the latest information on that. The heavy storms are from Decatur on northeastward toward Monticello right now. So there could be some large hail and damaging winds with those storms. And they are heading eastward. So that the biggest concern right now is from Macon and Piatt counties. But other storms could be developing rapidly, including that one heading for Shelby County. So stay tuned. We're all under a tornado watch, and we'll have the latest as we go through the afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Ed. Thanks for keeping us posted. And we were discussing, Dominique, about some of the different elements of that make up your documentary. One we hadn't mentioned yet is actually very close to the Champaign-Urbana area, and it's in Bloomington, Indiana, and that's Middleway House. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, we chose Middleway because we felt that it was important to show what a shelter could be. Unfortunately, in many parts of the country, first of all, there are not enough shelters, and shelters can accommodate the needs of women and children for a limited time. Very often, women have to leave after 30 days, which is, you know, when you're in this kind of situation, really nothing. And Bloomington accommodates women for, you know, however long they need to be there, and then they also have a transition house where women can stay up to 2 years. So first, it was that aspect of being available longer to help women. And then the second thing that was really intriguing and important and interesting is that women, when they have finally...
Dominique, I'm sorry to interrupt again. We've got to go to Ed Kieser for some more weather information.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I really hate having to do this. It's not the best thing, but we now have a severe thunderstorm warning for eastern Livingston County in central Illinois and Ford County in east central Illinois until 2 p.m. And the radar at 1:33 showing a line of severe storms now from Odell to 10 miles east of Bloomington, moving northeast at 50 miles per hour. So around Forest at 1:40, only 4 minutes from now, Chatsworth and Gibson City around 1:45 and Piper City around 50. Hail up to the size of quarters and damaging winds greater than 60 miles per hour, likely with some of these storms. So we're now adding eastern Livingston and Ford counties to the severe thunderstorm warning list until 2 o'clock, along with McLean and DeWitt counties. And, of course, a tornado warning for Macon and Piatt County until 2, and Shelby County a severe thunderstorm warning until 2:15.
It sounds like we have all the counties real close to Champaign County.
We're next.
Yeah, we're next. All right, we're going to hang in there and find out pretty soon, I'm sure. I'm sorry, Dominique. Go ahead and continue.
Well, all right, it's a good thing to feel very safe in New York for once.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just wanted to say that the second aspect of the Bloomington shelter that was really interesting is the realization that women, once they leave their relationship, are in usually, I mean, very often in desperate need, financial need, and they've been led to believe that they are not good at anything. And the shelter in Bloomington realized that it was not enough to give them training because they have a whole host of problems with you know, lawyers and divorce and cases of children custody, etc., which make it very difficult for them to find employment. And so Bloomington decided to have their own, to form their own company, and they employ women there. And that was really an example of what communities can do to help these women.
I want to mention, tagging onto what Dominique said, is that the Coalition Against Domestic Violence in Charleston, Illinois, which is soon to be called HOPE, Housing Opportunity Prevention Education, also offers transitional housing for women to stay, I believe it's up to a year. So one of the things we hope to do tonight in the local program is to illuminate what the shelter services actually are. It's more than just emergency getting out of a violent situation for a few days. There are a lot more services these shelters can provide, such as education and counseling for children, rent assistance, other things like that. So we hope that through this program we can let people know more about the services these shelters do offer.
I wanted to ask, Catherine, if I could ask you a little bit about the process of making a documentary. Particularly with subject matter like this, I'm sure you came back with hours and hours and hours of material. How do you get it down to a one-hour show?
Well, it was very difficult because we had several wonderful stories that we had filmed and we just couldn't include in this hour program. And I think the challenge is really to try to find a balance. And we had these, we had the Bloomington story, the Boston judicial system, the hotline, and we felt that each one, we wanted to feature each one. And so we tried to give as balanced a program as possible. And it's very difficult. And the stories that had the most effective stories, the ones that gave you the most information, were the ones that we were able to use in the final program and the final cut. We had a couple of women who told extraordinary stories of their journeys, but they were so complicated. And in many of these situations, it's just not a simple story. There are so many different members of families involved or relationships that are involved. And in an hour film, you can't do justice to these very, very complicated stories. And so sometimes we went for the simpler story simply because we could be honest to that story. And the other thing that happened was that at Boston, we had this round table of women with their advocates who formed a...
Catherine, I'm going to have to interrupt you and go to Ed Kieser for some more weather information. Ed.
Okay, we're interrupting because we have an update on the tornado warning for Piatt and Macon counties, and the warning remains in effect until 2 o'clock. About 5 minutes ago, the radar was continuing to indicate a tornado 6 miles north of Bement, moving northeast at 45 miles per hour, and at 1:35, which was only 5 minutes ago, a tornado was reported with this storm near Monticello by the Piatt County Sheriff. People in Monticello should head for safe shelter now. And that means going to the lowest floor or basement if you have one. Put as many walls between you and the outside as possible. I might add that this big storm is heading toward the Champaign-Urbana area, so we're going to be watching this closely. And I am now seeing a hook indication on the radar as well, not just the Doppler indication. Looks like this storm is getting quite strong right around the Monticello area. If you live around White Heath, I would take cover. I'd be ready to take cover immediately on a moment's notice around Seymour as well. So anywhere from Macon and Piatt counties, they're already in the path of the storm, to western Champaign County, not yet under a warning, but the storm is heading in that direction right along the I-72 corridor now. I'd say that it is time to start thinking about what you would do. And if you're living in Champaign-Urbana, these storms are heading in this direction, and there's no question that we're going to at least get heavy rain and probably hail and strong winds, and there's a possibility with the tornado watch and the storm producing tornadoes, already reports from Decatur and Monticello that we could have that kind of weather here. Probably a warning would be coming out shortly and probably still about a half an hour away. But we'll keep you up to date on that. But I am concerned about the Champaign-Urbana area as well as Monticello, and it looks like now the tornadic part of the storm has moved past Decatur. Other storms are firing up all the way from just south of Chicago, south-southwestward to just east of St. Louis, and we'll keep you updated.
All right. Thank you very much, Ed. And Catherine, you were talking about the complexity of this issue.
Right. And actually, what's good about these interruptions is that I can edit myself down. I think the other factor that was very important was that we really wanted to show that domestic violence happens in all economic in all economic racial situations, that it is not a situation that only happens to lower-income families, that this is something that happens all across the board. And so part of the selection in the story was to be able to show you the broad range of women that are affected by domestic violence.
And in fact, there are not only dealing with the issues of race and socioeconomic factors, but there are some serious cultural barriers in cases to helping domestic violence victims.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially in the Latin American in the South American, Latin American cultures where women have, culturally, where women are in a position where they are, in the more traditional families, where they are sort of subservient to their husbands. And in some cases, these women really have to deal with a whole other issue, which is a cultural issue, that they're not being a good wife if they don't accept their husband's authority.
And I was wondering if you could consider, is there a single factor that is especially, I believe we may be going to Ed here. Yep. All right. Thank you very much, Ed. And once again, I'm just going to run through them again, make sure I've got them clear. Tornado warning for Champaign County until 2:30. There is a tornado warning in effect for Piatt and Macon until 2 o'clock. Thunderstorm warnings for DeWitt and McLean counties till 2 o'clock. Eastern Livingston and Ford counties till 2 and Shelby County till 2:15. And Dominique and Catherine, we're going to wrap things up in just a minute here, but I was wondering if you had any final thoughts about what people should be looking for when they watch your documentary tonight. Well, it looks like we may have lost them at this point. All right. Well, my apologies to Dominique and Catherine, but I do want to thank them for joining us this afternoon. That was Dominique Lesueur and Catherine Tatchy. They are documentary filmmakers and creators of Breaking the Silence, Journeys of Hope, which is a documentary you can see on WILL-TV tonight at 8 p.m. My thanks also to WILL producer Kimberly Cronick, who is producer of Breaking the Silence Local Stories, a town hall which will follow the documentary that we're going to simulcast on AM 580, also on WILL-TV and on the web at WILL.UIUC.edu.